plug in this morning for this session. Know that it was already mentioned about fellow candidates posting something in. This is a really important work that we are involved in. I know everybody here has an interest in where our money goes, mission efforts that we support. And one of those mission efforts is in the Middle East right now, Rob Philippians. Philip was born in India, lived there, raised there. He now has a mission work all throughout that world, even in Iran. And some places that are very difficult as being the global world. And Philip's going to be here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Please be here. If you have a concern for what's going on in our world, how we can really help. I think that's one work that we really do a lot of people to work through us with our money. Philip has already been a lot of people, but we'll continue to do over there. Recently, Philip was injured in an incident with staff, and some of the students were as well. So it's a very hostile place and environment that Philip is preaching the gospel. So not only have we requested, we have requested the prayers. Continually, but also we encourage you to be here on this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Phil will be here Tuesday, and he'll be here Wednesday. I believe he's speaking Thursday, but it'll be a very good time and a very good information. So be here at 7 o'clock on this evening. I'm going to be in Galatians chapter 1 this morning. That's where we're going to read verses 6 through 10 just a little bit, but I do want to tell you about another story. Is that okay? One more, well, it depends on how this life is next night for the code. So you have a big story, you've got to tell it to everybody. But this is a story of a woman a couple of years ago up in the same area that I was telling you about last night in my introduction. This was up in the Walden area. And I was there the first day by myself. There was a rent that I really liked. I had gone out a couple months earlier on one of my days off, and I placed a couple of cameras there. They'd been up there for about a month and a half. So when I arrived, I put it in my computer and I saw several pictures of elk that had been up there. Of course, it changes once the season starts.
Matter of fact, that one
always better than Arkansas. Yeah, I'm not saying that it's good. It's a lot better than Arkansas, but both of our laws are not really about quality of love. They're counterfeits. And if they listen to that call or that voice, it is the difference between life and death. And you know, we find Galatians when it comes to the gospel, or a counterfeit gospel. The gospel of Jesus, the true calling of God in Jesus, versus the counterfeit. That's any other call in the world that calls us to men. It's the difference in life or death. Spiritually speaking. You know, when it came to the gospel and preaching the gospel, different than the gospel of grace, Paul would fight. Matter of fact, Paul was a grace preacher. You know that. Paul was advancing in Judaism. He was a Jew. And Paul was growing in this. You know that he was advancing.
Life and death.
Verse 8. But even though we, like an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we have preached to you, let it be a curse. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel for promises, contrary to that which you receive, let it be a curse. As the second time, people say, well, Paul mentioned something less than before, twice every year. Verse 10. For am I not seeking in favor of men or of God? Or am I striving with these men? If I was still striving with these men, I would not be a bond servant of Christ. That was part of the problem. They were doing what they were doing to be pleasing to men. Paul said, I would be a bond servant or a slave that is a bond slave of Christ. Now, what is Paul saying in these five verses here? First of all, he says about the gospel that they are lying into. As they are binding the law, as they are continuing to be circumcision in the flesh. That's what pleases God, that you do something physically in your flesh, and now you're a child of God. No, that's not the way into the gospel of grace. Matter of fact, the gospel of grace has included both Jews and Gentiles, the nations, bringing them into one body. Remember in Ephesians 2, he says, he abolished in his flesh the enmity. He brought peace.
Of the council.
you've got to receive circumcision. You've got to keep the law. And Paul was saying, it can't be that way. It's either the gospel of grace or it is no gospel at all. Verse 1 of Acts 15 says, the Son of Man came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren. Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you can't be saved. There it is. And just think what that does to our Lord and his sacrifice. What that man does to Christ Jesus, going back to Galatians, Paul will shed light on this in chapter 6. And verse 12, where he says, those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh, they try to compel you to be circumcised, simply that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. And they were then the Jews. Paul said, I'm not an enemy. Christ is going to keep circumcision, the law of Moses. That's crazy, right? It's dangerous, Paul. Notice Paul will say in verse 7 that this gospel that they're preaching, he says, it's really not enough. So although Paul talks about the gospel, he said, it's not a gospel. It's not good news at all. Verse 7, but that is also saying, this gospel that they are bringing is disturbing us. It confuses you, causes confusion to the Galatians. Notice he said, verse 7, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbed. And they want to destroy the gospel of Christ. We remember that at Jesus' birth. They were a little prepared about who this was supposed to be, who this was, this baby that was to be born. And he was disturbed. Same word of all this. Think back to another occasion when Jesus was with the disciples in John chapter 14, and he said to the disciples, believe in God. Believe also in me. That's what we're talking about. In my Father's house, and in your own place. We love that passage. That's the same word that Paul uses for trouble, for disturbing, a disturbing gospel. It troubles people. You see, Paul did not believe in the days of God, as someone has said. That is, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, he loves me not. Love, grace. It is now the grace of God. It is the grace of God. They were destroying, Paul said at the end of verse 7, the gospel of grace. This is an interesting word, destroying here. And what Paul is saying is that what they are running into is a reversal of the reading. You are reversing the reading. You are now reversing what God has accomplished for you in Christ Jesus. Means everything that was true to me about this morning means absolutely nothing. But we don't know the grace. What if we reverse the gospel of the grace of God? It no longer becomes God who has done this. Now it becomes us. And now it becomes our responsibility. Galatians chapter 2:21. Paul will say, for if righteousness comes through the law, if God can justify you, declare you as right before his eyes by law, then Christ cannot be used. That's powerful. It's also scary that Christ cannot be God. Without meaning, but without any purpose. But we know that our Lord did not die means. Go back to chapter 1 of Galatians. All it says is disturbing gospel, it distorts. It's the wrong message. It reverses the truth. It reverses all that God has promised. But 8:9, even though, verse 8:9, even though we are able to preach the gospel contrary gospel here, to that which we have preached to you, whether we have heard, we have said before Satan, then it is preached the gospel contrary. That which you receive, let it be yours. If you see anything, I think God is not going to offer. any other path, any other way, any other prophet, any other man, any other plan. It's all the counterfeit. That's what Paul is saying. It's a counterfeit because the only true gospel is the gospel of grace. Now it destroys those who preach it. Because notice what Paul says. Let them be accursed. Now just say the word anathema. You know, maybe the question, well, I thought Paul was this grace preacher. The way grace often is used today, well, doesn't grace often do that? But Paul says to those who preach that different gospel, let them be accursed. And the word means that it gets you over to the wrath of God. It's condemnation. He's giving them over to God and his wrath. That's how serious this is. Because remember, this is the difference in life and in heaven. Paul does speak some strong language there when he says, let them be accursed. Now, I want you to back up. I think this is the heart of this. When Paul, this is the problem, and it's easy to skirt over and read over quickly in verse 6. But I think this really sums up well. When Paul says, I am amazed that you are so greatly deserving of him. And don't miss that. What he is saying is taking those relationships of mine into this box. No gospel at all, this long message. He is saying, by following that, you are deserving God. So we can understand the dangers of it. This is why Paul will say in Galatians 5, verse 3 and 4. He says, I testify in every man who receives services, there is, that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. We can't do that, and they can do it. He says, we have been severed from Christ. The obviously part of Christ couldn't be severed from something they weren't part of. He says, you who are seeking to be justified by law, that's just made by God. Justice by grace. Those who are seeking to be justified by law, you fall. And he says, you fall from grace. You can't fall from something that you're not. You can't fall out of the tree that you're not. You can't fall from grace if you're not in grace. And he says, you can fall from grace. You who buy it to any other gospel. Who has been said? We give you three quick thoughts. And I'm not as much of this responding. The problem of counterfeits. And it's pretty simple. I think you know this, but I don't know what else we think about this week. Number one, counterfeit gospels forfeit Christ's word and causes us to rely 100% ourselves. That's the hard part. We have to rely on us. It's merits. It's earning, as you've heard it said before, our salvation that we've done. Secondly, counterfeit gospels eliminate the pain of sin. That's dangerous. They eliminate the pain of sin. But what was the pain of sin? The blood of Christ himself. Revelation 1:9. For through his blood, he has released us from our sin. You release that, and what do you reverse that? Or what do you mean? You have no name for your sin. In your laws, as Paul said in Ephesians 2, without hope, without God, in the back of the world. And lastly, it means your money will be lost. Who wants a lost soul? But Peter said, your very blood is righteous. Keep sober in spirit, church. Fix your hope completely on God. He said, on the grace of God. To be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's part of the gospel, right? Fixing on our hope on time and moment in which our Lord Jesus will come back. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul will say, in the middle of that chapter, Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. for your sins. Christ loved you anyway, that's the gospel, and you can pray so you can. If you're still in your sins, then that's not true. Years ago, I heard the story about a hospital that was in England. We're close to this story. A hospital that was in England, and there were several infants that had suddenly died. They didn't know why they died. They were uncertain of the cause of death, and so an autopsy was done to see what actually had happened. Don't miss out on that. We're going to stand for the same.